Hi, I'd like to then host me, Alan Smith, with weekly stories of today's Press and Journal on Tuesday, April 2nd. So front page of paper today is Health Workers Victory in Fight to Use Car Park. So it says Aberdeen Royal Infirmary workers could soon begin official permission to use the hospital's £10 million car park after a year-long battle. NHS Grumpian bosses are seeking consent for the City Council to remove strict conditions placed on the 13-storey Lady Helen facility. It was paid for by Sir Ian Wood and his wife, Lady Helen, to relieve the stress and anxiety suffered by thousands of patients and visitors every day. Well, and I'll tell you this, it's a godsend, I think, as the parking afore was just a disaster, but it's very swish new. During the pandemic, staff are allowed to park on certain levels, and this looks set to continue as bosses bow to staff threats to quit over a lack of parking for them. Oh, surely there's space for the staff to park. I mean, God almighty. Union bosses have also previously voiced fears for female workers' safety if they're forced to walk alone to their car somewhere far away from the hospital. In its application to the council, NHS Grumpian said it has the full support of the Wood Foundation to enable staff access to the upper level. So, well, God almighty, common sense prevails, eh? And, you know, it's be coming to something if a staff couldn't park aside for the work, and, you know, hey, nurses or doctors or anybody walking miles about to get their car, and there's a £10 million car park just sitting here. So, you know, quite right of them to bring us up, and you know, the bosses are favour his sway with us is like I say, they've seen some common sense here, so thank the Lord. Now here's a sonic solution to help tackle gulls nuisance across Moray region. So sonic scalers and hacks are to be used to control the nuisance brought by gulls in Moray. Banff based company Specialist Vermin Control has been awarded £657,000 contract to carry out deterrent works across the region. God almighty, you could hire a helicopter to chase the gulls. Well, anyway, the local authority is going further than recent years with two extra sonic scalers due to be installed to bring a total to 10. Hawks and lasers will also be used in Council Housing Estates in Elgin, Forest, Lossiemouth and Buckey. A pilot project was launched by Moray Council in Elgin in 2022 to help reduce the number of gulls nesting and breeding in the toon. 8 sonic scalers were used last year, with the total due to be increased to 10 this year to target near hotspots. The devices didn't hurt the birds and are designed to encourage them to settle in more rural and coastal areas. So, anyway, with Elgin. Elgin City South Councillor John Diver said, "We learned from last year's device installation that the use of the hawk and laser saw the number of nests drop significantly. This has started the process of breaking the nesting and breeding cycle, although it can take time for the full impact to be seen. I'm pleased we're making further progress, all of which is within the parameters of guidance from Nature Scott." Rob Teasdale, the Managing Director of Specialist Vermin Control, said, "We're providing one of the 10 devices at no charge, and will supplement them by flying 2 hawks in the areas in the early mornings and weekends out with school hours so we can target the problem areas. We've tweaked the zones in a number of deterrents this year, and while no method is 100% effective or guaranteed, the results we saw last year suggest these tools are having a positive impact on the gull issue in Elgin." Could be any gulls left. "Special permission is needed to remove herring gull nests due to this species being on the RSPB's red list for endangered birds." Well, the targeted areas are New Elgin Primary School, East End Primary, West End Primary, Greenwoods Primary, Seafield Primary, Bishop Mill Primary, Elgin High School, Osprey Flats on Reikett Lane, UHI Moray, Linkwood, New Elgin Hall, Moray Council headquarters in Elgin, in their chips pinched when they come out for their council meetings, and Ashgrove Council Depot in Elgin, Mostodloch Council Depot, Forest High School, and Lossiemouth High School. So, the net goals aside, the schools, An additional £27,000 for Elgin's Common Good Fund has also been used for new devices to deter gulls from nesting in the area. Gee whiz. Well, I think this boy will soon be, you know, he'll be managing director and he'll be overseeing things for the Bahamas. I think that's right, but jeepers. What a nice, £650,000. Scare a lot of old gulls. Nice work if you can get it. Now here's a flat chance to end a piece of city history. So, a flat in Nina Aberdeen's Alice buildings, once rumoured to have secret tunnels to St. Macher Cathedral, God, is going on the market. The unique property is in Bede House, an A-listed townhouse in Aberdeen, dating from the 1600s. It was built in 1676 as a house for one of Aberdeen's top civic officers. It became a poor house for men, then was divided into council housing in the 1960s. Now part of the historic building is on the market for £110,000. Bede House is nestled among other 17th century buildings at 20 Doan Street in Aberdeen. Steeped in history, it's an attractive, traditionally built granite house of a pleasant example of old Scots domestic architecture. Access is gained through the traditional pend of Doan Street, leading to the former courtyard behind. Above, the quaint stair turret is one of the finest features of Bede House and leads to the attic space. Inside, the first floor flat is reached by climbing a sweeping spiral staircase. The winding granite steps are the original ones used by many thousands of folk over the decades. Meanwhile, the flat's immediate view onto the historic cobbled street below has remained virtually unchanged for centuries. Although its roots are in centuries past, the accommodation is modern. With a neutral decor throughout, it has a spacious double bedroom, a dining kitchen and a bathroom built when Bede House was divided into apartments in 1965. With its large dual aspect sash and case windows hint at its toon house past. Having many windows was a status symbol in days gone by. One of the remaining period features is the suite miniature window in the bedroom. While the contemporary interior is light and bright and right for redecoration, it couldn't be more different for Bede House back when it was built in 1676. It was built at a great tumultuous time when there was great social, political and religious change. The three-storey building was a residence of Bailie William Logan and wife Jean Muir of Stonywood. Baileys were civic officers in Scotland City, similar to present-day councillors, but often also held high roles like magistrates. There's no doubt as to its origins, as a Latin plaque on the stairwell reads, forgive my Latin here, no, it was at the top of my list at the Bain Academy, Guillaume Logan, his conius, Janetta Moyer, Hank Dom, Aede Ficare Jusserunt, Anno Domini 1676. So this roughly, or very roughly, translates as William Logan and his wife Janet Moyer commanded to build this house in the year of the Lord 1676. So there you go. Now if you're interested, look up Aberdeen Considine's website and it'll tell you about it. But it looks a fair place and it looks pretty swish inside actually. So, you know, you wouldn't have far to go to Kirk. That's a thing anyway, just around the corner for St. Macher's Cathedral. So, and it's just a fair old building and I'm sure somebody will snap it up with likes of this history kind of stuff. Now here's volunteers. They collect 23 tonnes of rubbish to assist a salmon farm. So volunteers help clear more than 23 tonnes rubbish on beaches from Shetland to the Hebrides and Argyll in just 1 year. The haul was recorded by folk working with Scottish salmon farms in some of the most spectacular parts of the country. Litter included some debris for the aquaculture industry, but the vast majority was washed up rubbish or litter dropped by visitors. Items include large volumes of non-biodegradable wheat wipes and mere unusual finds such as kids' toys, sheen and a steering wheel. Well, grow it up, mate. Here's somebody's really good clean over a cliff somewhere. in his rage or whatever is how the theorem he'll have. But anyway, the total for 2023 does not include all fish farm areas, so will be higher. Figures covering five farms, Maui, Scotland, Scottish Sea Farms, Bakkafrost, I should say, Scotland, Cook Aquaculture Scotland and Loch Duart, showed that staff cleared about 23.6 tonnes a litre around the weight of 15 cars. Salmon Scotland Chief Tavish Scott, that boy's in a right job now, in promoting Scotland with a name like Tavish Scott. The vast majority of this could have been disposed of in a responsible way, but if it isn't it, then it can spend decades lying on our beaches or circulating in the world's oceans instead. Our same salmon farmers are lucky to live and work in some of Scotland's most stunning coastal areas, and they're happy to help keep the shores clean for everybody to enjoy. So there you go. So, well, hats off to them for collecting all that stuff. And, you know, I've then helped out with a few beach cleans in my time, but never come across nothing, nothing as exciting as one of toys or a steering wheel, that's for sure. So, well done to them. It just shows you fit folk leave behind. It's just unbelievable. I mean, somebody, someone's going to need a steering wheel. Surely in the way home, they'll notice it's near there. Unless it's a wifey drive, of course. Now, here's parents trying to fill a gap in childcare. So it says, new year, parents are faced with having to give up work when the village's only childminder shuts up shop and so are taking matters into their own hands to deal with the crisis. Jill Burnett, Caroline Palmer-Hay and Jane French are leading the charge in a race against time as they try to secure tens of thousands of pounds. They want to start a new initiative, which they intend to call the New Deer Bairns Bothe, to ensure folk then had to quit jobs or cut their hours to bide home with littlings. It comes after Aberdeenshire Council announced that out-of-school clubs will be closing this summer, including Ian and neighbouring Mintla. The cash-strapped local authority is desperate to max savings and said the services were operating at a £700,000 loss. Jeepers. Jill, who has a mum of three, who has bed in New Deer for about 12 years, explains who's helping to lead the community effort. She said the village has always had a shortage of childcare options, and with no private nurseries, most of the childcare in the area is provided by childminders, but there's not a lot of them available either. One childminder saw about 45 families come through their doors, but she will close come August, and there will be no childcare ever in the village. There's either two Adrians in outlying areas, even more outlying than New Deer, but they are very full and it's very difficult to get a space. So, startup costs are expected to be close to £20,000 to cover wages and rent, with long term contingency costs of up to £100,000. This would cover the possibility of buying or renovating a building in the village. Jill also said that the group will have room to accommodate 20 kids per session. But of course, there's more to starting a childcare service than just raising money to get it off the ground. Jill said she would take a lead role with two other full-time qualified staff joining the project if they raise enough money. But the fundraising efforts are against the clock. She says we need to be open by August before the school year begins and the childcare situation becomes dire. So she says if it doesn't get to go on, you know, might be an exodus of folk for the village. You know, folk will gang for her as nursery provision. But she says, but then I went to see where village far in the same way that a lot of other little places do. They lose their school or they lose their shops because folk have to move away. The group has so far raised more than £1,200. Oh, okay. They need a fair chunk to ging on if I need to get £100,000. The New Deer Bairns Bothe leaders are still looking for urgent funding to get the project off the ground, and among their many efforts, they've set up a Just Giving page. She says a lot of folk want to see it happen. They've got a good community spirit in New Deer. There's lots of interested folk saying they will do if they can't help. So, well, there you go. So, New Deer is not very good for little deers, and you know, they've got a fair chunk of money to raise, but I'm sure they'll be going flat out to try and get that, but to be honest with you, I mean, in New Deer, when the Bimuckle happens, they could probably be safe enough letting the kids who just run about in a park all day and, you know, give them a bale of hay or something to lean against for their peace. And, you know, if it comes on rain, put up a shed or something for them. But, well, kids are nice, easy, please now, I suppose. Well, good luck to them, because it's going to take a hell of a lot of work to get us up and going but in time, but they seem very determined. No, just finish up with sport as normal. Back page paper today is a boss rally dawns to see off Staggies. So interim boss Peter Leaven has revealed his half-time message that inspired Aberdeen to a huge win in the bid to end the threat of relegation on Saturday. The Dons overcame second bottom Ross County 2-1, gave them a good thrashing 2-1 at Pittodrie to secure back-to-back victories under Leaven. Aberdeen have opened up a 6-point advantage on Ross County, who occupy the relegation playoff spot with only 7 Premiership games remaining. Despite taking an early lead, Aberdeen were flat in the first half until Leaven intervened with a motivational half-time pep talk. He says he urged the Reds to show self-belief and relax despite the high pressure of the match. He said, "I had a wee nip at him at half-time and said, 'Listen, believe in yourselves.' I also told him to relax on the ball, which is what I'm all about." He had a nip at the team. Didn't he have a nip himself? Maybe give the players a nip to get them going. But anyway, they did the business in Caboot and obviously won the game, which gives them a wee bit of breathing space, but still in a great position. So we'll see how they go as time goes on, but you would like to think they're kind of safe now. So come on, Aberdeen. No, that's me done for today now. Just a wee public series of today's Press and Journal, Tuesday, April 2nd, 2024. And a hell of a day of rain today, just very mochy, foggy at times, and never really stopped drizzling or raining the hail there, I think. So, just fantastic. And somebody, you know, some of the old lads who comes in for a paper are saying, well, this is going to be the best day of the week, so the rest of it must be pretty crap, because my day was bloody awful. So, you know, when I could be short of water for a wee while, I wouldn't think. Anyway, thank you very much for listening to this podcast now. Hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please make sure and tell a pal about it. Doesn't matter far about in the world divide, you know, unless it's they're not allowed news for outside countries, but I think it Dorak Express be safe enough. Tell them they can follow us on Spotify for they can listen to every episode as it comes out. And listen to hundreds and hundreds and absolute hundreds of all episodes. Kind of that's their cup of tea, and they like listening to all news. If you can do that, it would just be dandy. In the meantime, thanks very much. Cheers now. Toodaloo.